Expressions from St. Paul is a listener-supported program. We'd like to thank you for your gifts and your daily prayers down through the years. We could not do what we do without you. Greetings, friends. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully in his 46th year here in St. Paul, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes begin at 9, and at 10, it is time to worship. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. This week's message comes from our powerful Resurrection Day service, and Dr. Williams reminds us that he is alive. He died on the cross, was raised from the dead, and because of that, one day we will join him in the kingdom of heaven. If you have your sword, let's open them together to the book of 1 Corinthians, and let's park at chapter 15, verses 3 down through 8. Immediately following this powerful song of praise, the next speaking voice that you will hear will be that of Dr. Williams with this week's lesson.
He is. The former president of the United States, Bill Clinton, was in church, a Baptist church, and he stood up and started clapping his hands when the choir was singing. And when the preacher was singing, he stood up, clapped again. And someone said, "He's the president of the United States." And I responded by saying, "But how did he get there? If it had not been for God, he wouldn't even be here." Maybe you don't know this, but I know you said, "My daddy so-and-so and my mama so-and-so." That's correct. But how did your daddy get to be so-and-so? Or your mother? Everything that exists came by God. Everything. Okay, what people tell you, science is now, many of them are confused. That's what they said. They're confused because they expected something and it is already in existence. Many of you don't know this. Stuff you see where science have not discovered it, that's true. They just discovered it. It's already was here. Amen. So it is with us. Now Jesus died and went to hell, down in hell. I said he went down where? In order to release the chains from those souls who had gone on. But he came back up in order to save some of you cute people. You know, some of you are so cute that they would never say amen. But the only reason you are saved and you are cute is because Jesus got up. And I'm talking about came out of hell. Now, I don't ever have to worry about going to hell because he released me and paid my bill and saved me, and I'm free, feel good, and happy. This is the best day of the year that Jesus died and got up. There's no other day you're going to find better than this day. Amen. He is alive. Now I want to congratulate the choir because a lot of people, you know, lack for the choir to sing, but they lack the choir to sing like, "He's Lord. Yes, praise his name. Hallelujah." Why don't you say it like you do when you're watching the ball game? And whenever they win, you clap like the sky's gonna fall on your head. And when you get through watching the ball game and get through being happy and get through being loud and get through clapping, they're not going to give you one dime. Amen. But if you go to work in the morning, it's because of the power of Jesus. And if you got any money in the bank, you wasn't that smart. You got money in the bank because God bless you to make the money. That's when you ought to, if you don't be loud in the way, you ought to have something to say when you come to worship. Worship is not looking. And let me say this before I get through here. Easter is more than hats.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Easter is more than suits and dresses.
Yes, sir.
And over here, you all not listening. Over here, Easter is more than turkey and dressing. And now let me come back on here. Easter's more than going out switching. Easter is to celebrate who saved you. That's Easter. Amen. Somebody said, "You know, I don't have to go to church. I'm not here to preach, talk about sin and all this Jesus business." And the reason they talk like, many people will never admit this. You have a number of people walking the street crazy. It's a lot of people, I say all the time, in Napa ought to be out, and some people out ought to be in. But I'm glad that he freed me from that silliness. And now I can say it anywhere I go. When I shook Bill Clinton's hand in Washington, in the White House, I said, "I'm praying for you." He's mine. He said, I appreciate that. I'm going to take Jesus where I go.
Amen.
Amen. He is alive. Hallelujah. If I don't have no dinner, I have him. He's alive. If you worship enough, you won't be hungry.
Yes, sir.
Let's move here. Matthew 28 and 6 says, he's not here, for he's risen as he said. Acts 1:3, to whom also he shared himself alive, showed himself alive, after his passing by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Acts 2 and 24, whom Jesus, God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Nothing could hold it. And the reason people don't look at the whole thesis of the Bible, the reason nothing couldn't hold him, because he holds everything. Amen. My lady was shouting in the church, and this is real. She was shouting, and her pearl got broken or something fell off. And somebody said, ma'am, your pearls has fallen. She got worried. She just kept shouting. And then they said, all of a sudden, after her pearls fell off, one of her earrings fell off. She was in the aisle dancing. I mean, really dancing. And they said to her, one of the ushers said, we got to get her out of the aisle before something happened. They came down, tried to get her out of the aisle. She got worse. And finally, she shouted so she passed out. When she came to it, they said, why were you shouting? Now, you're going to hurt yourself. She said, oh, no. I can't hurt myself when I got a steering wheel in me guiding me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You missed it.
Yes, sir.
If you're shouting for Jesus, you're not going to hurt yourself. Amen. She wasn't thinking about no pearls. She can get some more prayer, but she can't get that same power from the Holy Spirit. And every now and then, he'll hit you if he's in you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
When we look at it in Acts, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom he crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, does this man stand here before you whole. Hallelujah. Now for the text. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received. Now every born again believer who's here today, who's watching us in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, who's watching us in California, every one of you who were born again, what God has given you, it is for you to give it to somebody else. Amen. And I hear you say, but where I work, we can't talk about God. Let me help you. I worked on the job, and if you talked about God and they caught you, you was penalized. Amen. So what I did what some of you all do when you're at home and you're mad, you turn your back on your husband, women and men, you turn your back. You're not turning your back from that person. You turn your back cussing. You just don't want the other person to hear you. Well, when I was working, every now and then, I'll talk about God in a moan. They know what I said. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, he's wonderful. But I said like, Sometimes my boss will say, what are you saying there, William? And I said, oh, I'm just mumbling, humbling to myself. Then when he leave, I said, Lord, you heard him. Just give me power. Talk about God. And the reason I did that, because the gentleman that hired me didn't really hire me. They didn't even hire my color. And that job, they didn't hire me. And nobody looked like me. They hired me, Tommy. And I got to be, from being hired, the boss. Went from not being hired to being hired, and from being hard, the boss. And the very people didn't like me before I had power to fire. All the reason I'm telling you all of that, don't underestimate what you have from God. Amen. Now, if you all don't know this, you take this home. If I don't preach it no further today, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. You got to act upon it. Long as you're going to sit there like, so whatever, I don't mean any trust anywhere. You will never know he's alive. Except somebody said, well, you know, I'm talking that geeky talk. You don't have to do that. Jesus speaks in many ways. One way through the word, one way through the Holy Spirit that's in you. And you say, I wish I'd have used my first mind. That's why you lack that, because you got three or four minds. You're only supposed to have one mind. I hear it all the time. If I'd use my first mind. Well, I don't want to get around people like that too much because I don't know what the second mind might bring. Listen, friend, Paul says, and that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins. Amen. According to the scripture, and that he was buried, and then he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. Church, he died, but he rose. And today, he is alive. I don't care what the devil says, Jesus is alive. I said he is alive. He was alive when I got up, and he's going to be alive when I leave. After that, he was seen of James, then of all of the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me, also as of one born out of due time. Now, this man that wrote this, he knew that he saw Jesus. Nobody had ever destroyed as many of God's people and turned against God like Paul. But you see, it's amazing about God and Paul. God let him run his course. And then when it was all over, God said, now, I'll handle it. On his way to destroy what was called the way, Jesus had came along and he was called the way. Paul was going to arrest people and kill people and put people in, my friend, out of their misery. And you see, that's why I tell people trying to mess with the church. Don't get caught up in that mess. Don't get caught up against God. While Paul was on his way to destroy the way, God put him in the way. He knocked him off of that horse. And when he got up, he had some sense. A lot of stuff happened to us. We think, well, I don't know what's going on. Look back. Look back. He'll forgive you, but everything we do, there's consequences. And we are accountable. Amen. Here Paul talks about, to the Corinthians, I'm giving you what was given to me. I received it. Church, perhaps the first word that Abraham spoke to his wife Sarah regarding their beloved son Isaac after they had returned from their Mount Moriah experience were these words, weep no more, he's not dead. He is alive. Genesis 24. Perhaps these were the words Joseph's brother, friends, first spoke to their father, Jacob, after they are returned from Egypt to precious coin. Yes, Father, I have some good news. I got some good news for you. He's not dead. Joseph is alive. Yes, perhaps these were the words of Elisha to the Shunammite woman whose son that died. And Elisha prayed him back to life again. Yes. And listen to what he says, Madam, you can now pray, my friends, you can now pray him back to life again. And Madam, you now can rejoice, for he is not dead. He is alive. Genesis 45. I only have seen three people in my life that was pronounced dead, and then I don't like to use words, they woke up, they got up. Not too far where I was born, they used to do a thing, and you lived in, born in California, you don't know what this is. They used to do a thing when you die in some areas, they would give you a bath, and then they'd lay you on a thing that was called a cooling board. It was like an ironing board. They lay you out and put a sheet over you, and then the next day the mortuary would come and get you. We was at this lady's house, and my mother and I and my brother, and it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. It wasn't very far from where we lived. My mother said, I'm ready to go now. We'll go. We'll be taking care of Mrs. Preston. She's all ready for them to pick her up. And there was about a number of people was there, a number of them. And so Mama said, before we go, I want to go back by the cooling board and see her. And there was about 10 people in that room. And there was other people who went behind us. They wanted to leave. They wanted to go and see her. And this is what I said about people. And when we got in there, and we got inside of the room, Mrs. Preston sat up. And then she sat up, and then she turned around on that board and pulled a sheet up on her. And they said, well, she's not dead. She's alive. And they're running like I don't know what. What are you running if she was dead and now she's alive? Why don't you give a testimony from her? Let me give you another one. I was at the medical center, and they called some years ago now and said to me, this particular lady says she is dying, and the family wants you to come. So I rushed out there. We got out there. The husband said to me, he said, I appreciate you coming, but she's gone. There's about 10 of us there in the room. She's gone. And so I went to the bed. And laid hands on her, and I said, you all just join hands, we're going to pray. And while we were praying, this lady said, what's going on here? Now, I was there, I didn't move. Because first of all, I was almost frozen. I didn't do anything. So everybody running out of the room, including the husband. Now, I maintain this, and I could get myself in trouble for saying this, but I maintain this. There was a lot of people that when we said they're dead, they're really not dead. But if you're not dead, when they pick you up and take you wherever they take you, when they get through with you, you will be dead. I want to be like the Jews. I want them, when my time comes, I like to be like that. When they give me a bath, put me in a room, and bury me the next day, I got 24 hours to rise in case. I just wanted to make it, but that's reality. Friends, and perhaps these were the words of Mary and Martha regarding their brother Lazarus. After Jesus called to him to come forth from the tomb, he's not dead, but he is alive. John 11 chapter. But never these words were, my friends, more meaningful than they were on the first Easter morning, the day of Christ's resurrection, when the angels of the Lord told those women when they, friends, arrived at the barren place of the Lord. They said, he's not here, for he's risen, or in other words, he's not dead. He is alive. Matthew 28 and 6. And alive, I tell you, he is, he was, and he will forever be. He can't. You won't read in the Bible where he died again. He only died once. He won't die again. Let me explain that. You were born once. And if you don't get saved, you're going to be separated from God because you've only been born once. But if you're saved, and then you're born, humanly speaking, and then you're born again with Jesus, then you have then, when you die, your body goes to the earth, or it goes to now the furniture. They can burn your body up, but they can't burn your soul. When Jesus comes back to rapture the church, wherever you are, you're going to get up. Amen. Somebody says, I don't know about that. You don't have to worry about it. That is if you get saved. Being saved is the most important thing you can do on earth. Amen. I hear people say, the most important thing for me to be on earth is to be rich. That's not important because when you die, let me talk to the balcony. When you die, everything you have is going to be left. And I say in this church all the time, guess what's going to happen? The children of the family, they're going to drink it up. They're going to eat it up. They're going to drive it up. They're going to wear it up. And then they're going to smoke it up. So you better learn how to enjoy what you've been trusted with. But nobody takes anything from this earth with them. Amen. I know you wish you did. The man said, I'm not leaving nothing for my wife. What if she gets married again? And these are my response. I said, you don't have to worry about it because the way she looks, she can get married again. And she's going to enjoy what you left her and her husband. Amen. And the women said, yeah. You all got the brothers. Friends, listen carefully. No doubt, the atheists and the agnostics and the skeptics all wish that he was dead, but he's not. He is alive. Help me, Jesus. Friends, listen careful. Listen careful. Listen careful. No doubt, the doubters, the unbelievers, and the critics all wish that he was yet dead, but he's not. He is alive, much alive. Yes, sir. Amen. They say, the little boy you saw it a couple of weeks ago, the young boy got in somewhere in the South, got in trouble because they had to take some kind of report, and he took something from the Bible, one of the small stories of the Bible, and he used that. Yes, the teacher and everybody in that sitting got on him. And they expelled him because what he did. Now I want you to get this. So he went home crying. So his mother said, let's go back. She went back, and when she got back to the school, the principal was there. And he was part of the boy's story. The boy's back in school, but the one had him spell is not in there. You see, God will sprinkle somebody around you. You don't know who they are. But when stuff comes up, they'll raise up. Nobody can stop God's name from being publicized. The publisher might deny, the government might deny, the politicians might deny, your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your mother, and your father might deny, but I say he is alive. He's alive. Hallelujah to the King. Church, as we move on here today, no doubt in my mind, the evolutionists and the cultists and the humanists all wish that he was still in the grave, but he's not. He is alive. And no doubt the wicked and the modernists and all of those who are non-Christian wish that he was still dead, but he's not. He is alive, and he lives forevermore. Amen. Anywhere I've been, to the universities, to the Capitol, to the White House, they know that I've made comments about my living Jesus. Amen. Amen. I was invited to David some years ago, and the man said to me when I got there, he said, "Now, you know, you can't talk about Jesus." I said, "Well, why did you invite me? You knew I was a Baptist preacher. And if I was called, I'm going to talk about Jesus." And he said, "Well, I tell you what." He said, "You just do what you want to do because I'm going to set to the side." And I open up with prayer in Jesus' name. And then when I said, "Now the Lord is going to guide us, and I thank Jesus for giving me a chance to be here." And I had to fight my way out because they were still asking me questions when it was all over. If you speak for him, he'll stand for you. He'll stand for you. Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. I like to tell this story. My mother forced me to go with her to get my brother out of jail. And because they arrested him because of his height, and he was too young to register. And they said he was dodging to serve the army or whatever it was. So my mother said, "You get Bob." We had a big, tall dog. She said, "Put the leash on him. I'm going to town to get my son, get Theo." I said, "Okay." She said, "Now, if they put their hands on me, you turn Bob loose." And I'm saying to myself, then I would get killed. And Mama said, "No." I told her. She said, "No, you won't get killed because you got help. You got me and Bob." And all you had to do to Bob and say, "Get him." I tell you one thing, he went and said, "Now we don't want no trouble." That's what they tell my mother. "We don't want no trouble." But they went and brought him out. She had confidence in who she served. Amen. Friends, how are you going to ever know that he's alive when you don't act upon him? Yes, sir. Amen. 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 Preparing to build some senior housing. And someone gave me $300 this week and for the senior housing. And this really touched my heart. I got a letter from a lady out of up there, that dam where the water was having floods. And she said, and she wrote the letter. She's an elderly woman. She said, I'm so sorry that I can't send what I've been sending monthly. She says, "I almost lost my house because of the flood. So I had to spend a couple of nights in the hotel. They broke in my house, stole my jewelry and my in-law mother that died, and they stole a lot of stuff." She said, "I was sad and lonely." But she said, "Right after then, I know it was time for St. Paul to come on. I read your broadcast." She said, "When I put it on, I forgot about they broke in my house. What happened is what was in her was stirred up." And she was able to thank the Lord, she said, for what he had left her. She said, "Now I got more than I ever had." Don't underestimate this Jesus who is alive. Oh, my God. I won't finish today, but listen careful, friends. No doubt, I said earlier, the wicked, the martyrs, everyone who is not a Christian wish Jesus was dead. Yes, sir. If he was still dead, then we, listen, then we would know that he was not whom he claimed to be. If he was dead, then he was not the Son of the living God. If he was still dead. Listen careful. If he was still dead, church, if Jesus was still dead, then he was not our Savior and not our Redeemer. That he was not the atonement for our sin. If he's still dead, then he was not the long-looking, coming Messiah, if he's still dead. If he was still dead, then he was not the way, the truth, and the life. We would also know that he was not, my friend, the Word made flesh, and my friend, and dwell among us, if he was still dead. John 1:14. But he is not dead. He is alive. He is alive. And he is alive. And if he were all, my friend, if he was still dead, then there would be no hope for us. Poor, hungry, lonely, sad, and sick, and hopeless. Mortal beings, no unshakable foundation for our church. Amen. If he was still dead. Church, there is no intercessor at the right hand of the Father if he's still dead. But he's right there sitting next to his Father. If he was still dead, there would be no purpose for us trusting in his promises. If he's dead, they're still dead. There's no reason for us to assemble to rejoice and to worship him. If he was still dead, there's no need to be calling on him and say, Jesus, I need your help. If he was still dead, then the sun wouldn't be shining today because he controls all of that. He's alive. He's not dead. Church, listen to me careful today. There's no call for us to commit and devote ourselves to him if he's dead. And if he's dead, then there is absolutely no need for us to expect him to return in the clouds of glory to rapture his church. But he's alive, no doubt about it. And when he comes back, the first rapture person, I'm going to be on it. Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. You really believe that, William? No, I don't believe nothing. I know it. I know he's going to rapture me out of here because I'm part of his church. If you're not part of his earthly church, then you will never get part of his spiritual church. Amen. I don't like to go to church. The whole service is too long. Let me help you. You don't say that when you go to Nordstrom's. You go to Nordstrom all day and don't have a dime. You don't say that when you go to Cheesecake Factory and wait 45 minutes before you serve. Let me say something else. You don't say that at the airport when your plane is delayed 2 hours. So if you can take all of that, you know what? The church not staying too long is that you don't have the patience to let the Holy, sometimes the Holy Spirit won't come to you till the church almost is over. So he's got to cut through a lot of stuff. When he get through cutting it, it'll get to you. Every time the church hold long service, it's not because they have to. They want to make sure you're blessed. And sometimes, I don't care what you tell me, sometimes all these layers you got this week, jealousy, malice, evil, resentful, all that stuff got to be cut through by the Holy Spirit. Then when he get to you, you will say, yes, I know he's alive. How do you know? Early the this morning. He woke me up, and then he kept, not only did he find me in my right mind, but I'm still in it. Not the time you spend, it's the faith you give.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Amen.
Amen.
I don't have to go anywhere no more in Sacramento when it comes to eating. I don't have to wait. God has been kind to me. And he'll be kind to you. And some of you, all you have to do is to get rid of your nasty attitudes. Just learn how to put your hand in your pocket, brother, and smile. What's the matter? I was at a restaurant a few weeks ago with some of you. And the person said, how many in your party? I said, 4, and I'm hungry. I just got through preaching, and I'm tired. She said, stand against the wall. Don't stand in the line. Stand against the wall. And Tommy, in 4 or 5 minutes, follow me. 4 of us went on back, and I looked back. Look at Jesus. Look at him. Don't just be trying to serve God to go to heaven. Serve him to have some peace on earth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. They're not going to have no cheesecake in heaven. So I'm going to get me a slice down here. But one thing in heaven I don't have to worry about, they'll have a lot of joy. This joy that I have. The world didn't give it to me. But thank God for Jesus who's alive. Just listen. Friends, yes, he's alive. And I can't help but believe that this is the message of every bird that sings, of every flower that blooms. You see these flowers here? Of every star that twinkles. Because he is alive. Of every breeze that blows. Of every dewdrop that sprinkles. That every sun rises that radiates. Tells me that Jesus is alive. And I can't help but believe that this is the message ought to be preached every day. Jesus is alive. Friends, listen carefully here. Listen careful. Of every baby that laughs tells me Jesus is alive. He's alive. This ought to be the message that is preached from every pulpit today. That is, should be every song that is sung mentions something about Jesus being alive. It should be talked about it in every pew that he is alive. Church, that is proclaimed from every television program. It ought to be also taught in every classroom. It should be on every street corner. That is featured at every gathering. When you go home and have your friends over, don't eat and drink all at once. Talk about Jesus just a little bit. Said I did the best I could when with Jesus' help.
Yes,
the older people, way back years ago, and they'd be in the kitchen cooking.
Yeah.
And I've been into some of them. And the women is making biscuits and singing. Bless that name of Jesus. No other name I know. And when them biscuits come out, you don't eat one. You eat every one that's around you. Because she got, what makes them so good, she got Jesus in them, and your appetite gets to be better. We don't think about no Jesus when we're cooking. First of all, you don't want to cook. But whenever we cook, we just go, I'm going to cook some food. You ought to say, Lord, help me to fix this meal. So whoever eat it, they'll be blessed, and I'll be blessed. Amen. Amen. Church, if you're going to be blessed, you got to talk to him. If you want to have joy and peace, you have to talk to him. Amen. Amen. That is, friend, this this gathering, friends, this ought to be talked about on every show on television, that Jesus is alive. Because multitudes have leaned on his arm. Because multitudes have followed in his footsteps. This is to the ministers. I was sitting with some ministers, and it was about six of them. And I was the only one, they said, was saying amen. None of the other ministers didn't say amen or nothing else. And so when the service was over, one of the ministers said, "You shocked me how you kept getting up saying amen." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, you come with me again, I'm going to shock you again." I said, "Because you wasn't there. You wasn't there when he saved me. You wasn't there when I went through my pain. You wasn't there when the enemy attacked me. You wasn't there when he tried to destroy me. And since Jesus had delivered me, I owe him something. One of the things I owe him is to say, praise your holy name. You're worthy. You're worthy. When I look back and see where I came from, I owe him something. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you where you brought me from. I know it wasn't me. Wasn't my mama, not my daddy. But it was the power of the Holy Spirit. If he brought me once, he'll bring me again. I can't not deny that I haven't did something wrong. But he's forgiven me, and Isaiah said he will remember it no more. That's because he is alive. Well, friends, I told you before, the reason I know he's alive, every flower that blooms, every sunrise and every sunset, my friends, every color of the rainbow helps me to know that he's alive. On every, my friends, feathers on birds teaches me that he's alive. And every blade of grass that grows says to me, he is alive. I know that he's alive, for it was his hand that lifted me up out of the murk and the miry clay, that calmed me in times of fear and frustration. I know he's alive, that he helped me subdue my enemy, that he sustained me through the long, dark hours at night. I know he's alive. He comforted me when tears of sorrow filled my eyes. He's alive that strengthened me during my weak moments in life. He's alive. I know that he's alive when I feel his power in my hand. I know he's alive. We must teach our children, our grandchildren, and we must practice before them that God is alive. I went to my auntie's house years ago, and she was eating. And she says, "I got just finished cooking, and you would like to have something to eat." I said, "What do you have, Aunt Beulah?" She said, "Well, they used to save that stuff." And she said, "Well, I made some chicken pie." And she said, "I made it with chicken wings and chicken legs." I said, "Well, you mean legs? You mean from the thigh?" She said, "No, I mean from the leg you skin back and cook them." Don't get too New Yorkish to me. Some of y'all have had the chicken legs. And Tommy said, and I said to Aunt Beulah, "You know, I never eaten that." And she said, "It's time for you to get started, because you're 16 years old, and you're going to soon be on your own. And you're going to be, if you don't have anything, you're going to be glad to get a leg of a cooked," but she used the word, "of a cooked chicken." Now, I never had to do that, but I had to do some other thing worse than that. Well, what could be worse than I have had to go to work at 35 degrees below zero. That's worse than eating any kind of chicken. But because I took care of my health, I didn't have worries. The older people could take, you don't know this. I know you all criticize the older people. Older people could take ham juice. Or you call it the liquor that comes out of the ham and cook some greens and you'll eat all you could get. And now here you have the ham and don't even know how to cook them. Friends, he's a lie. I keep telling you all, he is a lie. Well, I don't want to hold you too long. I know you're waiting to go to eat. Listen carefully. Jesus is alive. The courts might deny that. The newspapers might refuse to print that. The teachers in the schools might deny it. The universities might say that's old stuff. But I tell you, it's new. He is alive. One of the richest men in this town, his brother was a Christian. We went to see him. He said, Brother Williams, I mean, he had millions. He said, I'd give anything if I could feel better. I said to him, don't worry about feeling better. Worry about getting saved. I said, why don't you accept the Lord and be saved? And he did. He's still alive. Don't put your hopes in your money. Your money will not do what Jesus can do. Amen. I mean, and he's really alive. He's doing well in his business. Everything you do, acknowledge Jesus Christ. Everything. You say, but well, you say, well, you say, well. And many of you know this that's visiting today. Many of you members all know this. For there's no golden idol could ever do for me what God has done. There's no lucky charm could ever provide for me what he has done. There is no chicken, my friend, no chicken wing or leg could give me no better luck than Jesus did. There's no rabbit foot can bless me like Jesus has. Help me, Holy Ghost. There's no whiskey, no scotch, no beer, no wine, no marijuana, no drug can make me more happy and holy and filled than Jesus can. He's alive. Church, but no doubt, humanist philosophy could, my friend, could ever satisfy me like he has. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No bottle of liquor could ever cause me to rejoice like he has. Yes, and let me say something to blow your mind. No love could keep me happy all day and all night.
Yes, yes.
Love is just short periods. But the joy of the Holy Ghost can wake you up saying, this joy that I have. So learn he's alive and you want to trust him. If you're here today and you have never accepted Jesus, now is the time to accept him. You say, but I'm not ready for that. You might not be ready for that, but when death comes, death's not going to tell you. You're not going to tell death, I'm not ready. You have to say, nothing. So the Holy Spirit speaks to you in this city. Accept him as your Savior. Well, Percy, I will have to close today. I finish the rest later. But in my closing, let me tell you something, church. Easter will not be again until 1 year. But the living Christ would be here every day. Every day. Every day. He'll be here every day. And as a matter of fact, you can tell me anything you so desire, anything you want to. But when he comes, you can simply call me, my friend, but I will be gone. When he comes for me, I will be ready to take my ship. Amen. I boarded a ship coming out of South America, and part of my ticket was missing. I dropped it someplace. And I said to the man, he said, well, you have to go back. Order your ticket now here. You can't board the ship. I said, sir, I don't have no choice. This is my wife with me, and she doesn't feel well. So what do I need to do to board the ship? And I'm saying, help me, not to him. He said, well, just go on. He said, don't look back. I went on, and he said, sit up front. I went on and got on that boat, sat up front. Time I sat down, the waiter came and said, what can I serve you? I didn't have but a half a ticket. But what can I serve you? But now I don't have that worry. I don't have no half a ticket. I got a ticket that's full, and it's already been signed. My name is written out of the blood of Jesus. And nobody can erase it. And if you don't know him, you don't have no ticket. You can come to church all you want to, and that's a blessing. But you got to know him and be washed in his blood. You got to be able to sing songs. I don't know this, but I heard it. I heard that many people change their name in order to become famous. I think Curtis Jackson became 50 Cent. Annie Mae Bullock became Tina Turner. Carrie Johnson became Whoopi Goldberg. Edric Woods became Tiger Woods. Amen. Friend, you can change your name, but you can't get saved by changing your name. My name now has been changed. I'm no longer what I used to be. What I am now, I'll die with it. He changed my name. No more Ephraim, but I'm part of the kingdom. I'm a son of the living God. And I'm happy to be a son. You say, but you're a son. How are you going to be a son of God? Very easy. You see, you can't join God. That's no such thing as that. You are with God. This is what you are. You're on this side. God's on that side. When you accept God as your Savior, then you come to be part of God. You come right on down with him. You talk to him. You now a child of God, part of the family of God. And when you hurt, God hurts. When you're broke and you're saved, God is broke. Whatever you need because you're part of the family, God will supply. Now, I'm not talking about what I heard. I'm talking about what I know. But you got to get in the family before you can get help. Amen. When I need help, nobody in my house but me, I don't worry about what's going to happen. I just, if I'm in the bed, I turn over. I said, now, Lord, your son has a need of 1, 2, 3. I'm depending on you to help me, guide me, and I'm going to get up in the morning and go looking. And if you look, let me say this the best I can. I wish I could say it better. When you do what you're supposed to do and you get through your prayer, every now and then God will throw you something. But you got to be part of him. Part of him. And so young people, I went to seminary 4 years and didn't have to pay a dime, and don't know who paid it. And I'm thankful. I'm not trying to find out either. I'm thankful. I said to God, I want to go. You called me. I want to go to equip myself. And when I went to register, the lady said, what's your name? I said, my name is Ephraim Williams. She said, wait a minute. She said, somebody was in here. She said, this semester's paid, and your books is being bought. The next semester I went in, she says, your tuition has been paid. And somebody behind me said, you don't gonna ask who it is? I said, shut up. Be quiet. 4 years. Now you say, why are you telling me all of that? I'm trying to tell you, when you're part of the kingdom and you want to do what's right, here I repeat here, throw you something. I could afford to pay my own tuition, but then I gave that money to some other courses. He's alive. I said he is alive. If you accept him, you will never regret it. He is alive. Now, please don't walk while we get ready to open the door of the church. You would bring friends, you bring the enemy in, and he would throw something up, or set something, or do something, and miss the person who's trying to accept Christ. So be patient, remain in your seat until we finish. Father, we ask again that you speak to those who want to come to you. We give you praise, glory, and honor. Thank you for your love.